This is a great Sunday night crowd. I would say there's about as many people, maybe more, in the auditorium this evening as there was this morning. That's because I imagine some of you are out working in the bus ministry, junior church, things like that. And I appreciate you being here. How many of you have been to every service today? That's great. How many have been to every service but one? That's the rest of you, okay? You're doing good. So keep up your streak. Be faithful to church. This is a great church. I love being here. Had some wonderful fellowship with your pastor and his wife this afternoon, and we ate Mexican food. I'm a gringo, but I like Mexican food, and I like habaneros and jalapenos and all that good stuff, health food. It was wonderful. I should have mentioned this morning, a lot of people are COVID conscious these days, so here is my policy about all of that stuff. I will respect you. If you come by the table and you would rather I wear a mask, let me know. I have a mask in my pocket. I'll put it on. Actually, I don't. I'll borrow somebody's. I left it in the room. I have a mask in my pocket and I'll put it on. If you want to shake my hand, stick your hand out. I'll shake it. If you don't, I won't shake it. I'll give you a fist bump or whatever. If you want a hug, I'll hug you. If you want a kiss, you guys, see the pastor. He'll look. I don't know if he'll kiss you, but he'll talk to you. All right. So thank you for coming back. There's a couple of things I'm out of at the table. If you want something that I mentioned this morning and I'm out of it, if you'll pay the good price, the special price I offered you, and give me your name and address, I will mail it to you and I'll pay the postage. I don't want anybody to not miss what they wanted to have. And a lot of you got stuff. Thank you very much. I do hope you'll get the rest of it. If you don't get it, I got to carry it on the airplane. Probably rupture a disc, be crippled, never preach again, and be all your fault. Acts chapter 27, if you're able, stand. We may be standing a little while tonight. I hope you don't mind if I spend some time reading the Word of God. It might be more important than what I have to say. Just might. The Apostle Paul has been sent to Rome. He's appealed to Caesar, his right as a Roman citizen. And he's on a boat with a bunch of other prisoners. There is a centurion, that's a Roman soldier, in charge of 100 other soldiers. The captain of the ship has not only the soldiers and the prisoners, but a cargo to get delivered. And the Apostle Paul, who is an experienced traveler, says in verse 9, when the time was spent and sailing was dangerous because of the fast was already passed, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attained to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss." So, ladies, we do have a biblical basis for saying, "I told you so." Please note those words, "after long abstinence." That's the part you miss sometimes. "And now," verse 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." I love that. Would you say that we're going to say, "God, whose I am and whom I serve"? Everybody say that together, if you would. "God, whose I am and whom I serve." Say that again. "God, whose I am and whom I serve." "Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." The whole ship's going to be saved because God wants Paul to go see Caesar. Better be careful who you get in the boat with. Wherefore, sirs, verse 25, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as was told me. Everybody say, I believe God. Ready? I believe God. How be it? Verse 26, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further and sounded again, they found it 15 fathoms. And fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they let down the boat, we'd call it the lifeboat, into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. They're pretending that they're putting anchors out, but they're really going to sneak off. Leave the soldiers, all the sailors are going to go. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Don't have any sailors, you can't sail. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. I was not on that ship. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he broke it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. We were in all in the ship, 216 souls. This is amazing. The wind is howling. The boat is bouncing up like a cork and down on the waves. The lightning splits the darkened sky. They haven't seen the sun or the stars or the moon in 14 days. Thunder crashes. And none of that changes, but the Apostle Paul says, cheer up. And they were all of good cheer. It is common today to diminish the value of the spoken word. Man is a visual creature. You watch television, the change scenes, a scene changes every few minutes. And besides, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, I don't know. The Bible does say God chose by the foolishness of preaching to deliver his word. Give me 1,000 words. I'll give you the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, a Shakespearean sonnet, the Hippocratic Oath, and I have enough left over for most of the Boy Scout Oath. You give me any picture worth those 1,000 words. The words of the Apostle Paul cheered up everybody, 276 people in the entire ship. Did you know it really matters who you listen to? And it really matters what you say when you talk to other people. Words really matter. When they've eaten enough, verse 38. They lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up anchors and committed themselves unto the sea, they loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a certain place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass. They escaped all safe to land. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of it. I pray that you'd help us as we look at this really instructive story to be guided and convicted by your spirit. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its faithfulness. Thank you for all the services and all the ministries being engaged in. Thank you for the leadership of Dr. Nepshield for these 14 years. Thank you for his faithful wife and good family. Thank you for the people who have been part of this church, some of them for decades. Thank you for the work that you're doing through this place. I'd like to be a help, but I can no more help them than you help me. So guide me and direct me and empower me by your spirit. Bind Satan and his demons. Don't let him take away from our heart the seed of your good, perfect word. And then help us to act obediently as you speak. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about how to wreck your ship and survive your wreck. How to wreck your ship and then survive your wreck. We are sailing through troubled waters. I know of churches that could have opened their doors for services a long time ago and are just potting around. I know of Christians who get so discouraged by what they read in the paper and see on the news that they have given up hope. Did you know that God is not sitting up in heaven saying, oh no, what am I going to do? There's a Democrat in the White House. He wasn't even a bit surprised. Somebody said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Why do we get in these troubles, and what do we do when we find ourselves in them? So I'll talk about how to wreck your ship and how to survive your wreck. If you want to wreck your ship, number one, listen to the wrong counsel. Now the Apostle Paul said, hey, it's going to be a bad voyage, but the centurion believed the owner and the master of the ship more than the things spoken by Paul. Now, Paul was an experienced traveler. I'm an experienced traveler. I've flown over 2 million miles on Delta Airlines alone. I fly so often, they let me sit up front for free quite often. They give me extra miles, freaking flyer miles. They let me carry 3 bags. 2 of them can weigh 70 pounds. I can carry 2 people in a spare. I fly so much that I have a special arrangement with the airlines. If I'm not there on time, they leave without me. That's why whenever there's a question, they come to me and they say, Mr. Willett, do you think we ought to take this flight or not? No. They talk to the pilot. They talk to the people who run the weather. They talk to the people in the tower. They talk to the mechanics. And it makes very good sense that the centurion would listen to the owner and the master of the ship more than the things spoken by Paul, except Paul was not speaking as an experienced traveler. He was speaking as a servant of God. Did you know when your pastor opens the Word of God and gives you what the Bible says, did you know that the Scripture requires you to obey Him? I preached on that one time in 44 years. Never made a big deal about it. Thought I ought to mention at least once. But that's what it says. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. But you know what happens to a lot of our churches? My pastor, I know what you said, but I was listening to Dr. Sounding Brass. I was watching Dr. Smooth It Over on the television, and he said, well, I don't care what he said. I want to know what he said. Well, there's a lot of advice out there. You've got advice on the radio and on the television and the self-help books. You got Dr. Phil telling you how to conduct your marriage and raise your family, and Oprah was doing it before him, and Dr. Laura about that same time. There's so many voices, but you better be careful. You listen to what the Word of God says. You want to wreck your ship, listen to the wrong counsel. Number two, do what's comfortable. The Bible says the haven was not commodious to winter in. Come on, we can't stay here. They don't even have a 5-star motel. There's no McDonald's, let alone a Chick-fil-A. I love this church so much. You go to Chick-fil-A tonight, I'll buy everybody anything they want. Tonight, only tonight, not tomorrow. They don't want to stay in that uncomfortable spot. Now, the fast was already passed. There was a time on the calendar after which it was deemed unsafe to take this journey. But they said, oh, it'll be all right. The captain of the ship says we'll be fine. We'll just go. Do what's comfortable. You know what happened during COVID? We got comfortable doing less. Every time our church didn't start Sunday school right away, people in smaller rooms, and we were trying to at least partly obey. Well, we didn't really care much about a governor, but we were trying to be a good testimony. Every place you go, they say, you're a governor. I'd say, well, we mostly ignore her. We really do. We mostly just ignore her. But we'd have church at 11 and no Sunday school. And when I was home a little bit and couldn't travel because of the COVID, I liked coming in at 11. Yeah, my body liked being lazy and goofing off. And you know what happens? We get comfortable. Then it's hard to get back. Somebody said, what's going to happen after this? We're going to jump back? I don't think so. I think we're going to crawl back. People have to redevelop character and redevelop the right kind of habits. But if you make your decision on what is comfortable, I don't want to be in the bus ministry. They do. I spend a long time visiting. And those little kids, they can get kind of nasty. And it's pretty sweaty. Are your buses air conditioned? Well, you can't expect people to sweat for the cause of Christ. Perspire in Mississippi. It gets hot here in the summer and it's muggy. I don't know if you knew that or not. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. It was hot and muggy there, and there's places worse than that. You give me an air-conditioned ministry, thank you. And then they're making the choir come in at 4:30. Who ever heard of such a thing? And put it in red letters in the schedule, you know. Take away any of my excuse saying, well, I didn't notice it. I was just glancing over it. You want to have a wreck? Do what's comfortable. Christian life's not about comfort. The Christian life's about service. The Christian life is not about convenience. The Christian life is about sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul said, we better wait. But they said, no, it's uncomfortable. You want to wreck your ship? Listen to the wrong counsel. Number two, do what's comfortable to convenient. Number three, go along with the crowd. The more part thought it was a good idea to go ahead and sail right now. Maybe the majority gets to rule, don't you understand? And not in the work of God. The work of God is not a democracy, it's a theocracy. I was the pastor of the First Baptist Church for 44 years. I had tremendous liberty. I had one deacon's meeting a year most years. It lasted about 7 minutes. We never even sat down. They came in the office, I showed them the budget, asked if they had any questions, took any nominations for deacon. I had one business meeting a year. It lasted 5 or 6 minutes. Usually had no questions. And we voted on the budget and voted on deacons. Now, everything was fully accounted for and audited, and everything was open, and anybody could ask any questions they wanted to. But if I wanted to fire somebody, I fired them. Wanted to hire somebody, I hired them. Wanted to support a missionary, I started supporting them. Wanted to take them off, I took them off. Had great liberty. But it wasn't because it was my church. It was because God told me to lead that church. And my responsibility was not to lead it as I wanted it led, but to try to do what I thought he wanted done. And I serve under God. I love what the centurion said to the Lord Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. You just speak the word because I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I know that if I tell them to do something, they do it. If you tell the demons or whatever to leave my daughter's body or the healing to come, that it'll come. Do you know what? I don't care if you're the father. I don't care if you're a boss. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care what you are. You are under authority. You don't get to do what everybody wants. Now, you don't get to follow the majority. It was a majority of people thought you ought to crucify Christ. It was a minority that God used to wipe out 135,000 Midianites. And you say, well, Pastor, do you know how few churches in this area even have church on Sunday night? Shame on them. I got a friend in Ohio. He's an engineer who got working with young people, became a full-time youth pastor, and then started a church. He was Southern Baptist, but he left and became an independent Baptist by conviction, named Dr. Wally Miller, great guy. And he said to me, I could never support a man who didn't have Sunday night church. And he said, I think of all the sermons I heard on Sunday night and all the things I was taught on Sunday night and all the decisions I made on Sunday night. And he said, would my life be better if none of that had ever happened? Now, the Bible doesn't say, well, it's getting tough out there. Things are busy and we got a lot going on. So you don't go to church as much. That's what the progressive church says. But my Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The fact is, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is doing worldly music. Everybody else has teenagers that look like they just came from some kind of a grunge party. Everybody else has a light and sound show. But this isn't an everybody else church. This is an obey the Bible church. You want to wreck your ship? Go ahead. Listen to their own counsel. Do what's convenient. Go along with the crowd. But now they're in a storm. How do they survive? Four things. I hope you get these. First thing I note is when the sailors decide to sneak off with the lifeboat. And the Apostle Paul says, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There is a tendency when troubles come to run. People run from a church because something didn't go the way they thought it should, or something happened that embarrassed them, and they don't want to come and face the people who know their circumstances. People run from a job. People run from friendships. People run from marriages. But Paul said, no, if these guys run away, we're not going to make it. So, number one, if you want to survive your wreck, here's the first way to survive your wreck. Stay where you are. Would everybody say that with me? Number one is stay where you are. Let's try it again, everybody. Stay where you are. Now, this is particularly true of leaders. These were the sailors. These are the ones who helped steer the ship. And it's particularly true of leadership, but it applies to everybody. When you get in a time of trouble, don't run away. Don't go somewhere else. Don't go and say, I'm going to just start over somewhere. I had a man in our church. He'd done a terrible thing. He said, I think I should just leave. I said, you can do that. But you know, wherever you go, you got to take yourself with you. And sooner or later, what you've done is going to come out there too. And you have to face it all over again. You might ought to stay here where people love you and people trust you and people know that you're growing. We had a man in our church committed a terrible sin. He'd been preaching and he couldn't preach anymore. And he was going to leave. And I said, just stay, man. And he stayed. He's always looking down and acted like a whipped puppy. And one day I said, has God forgiven you? He said, yes. I said, he's forgiven me too. He's forgiven everybody else out there. You look everybody in the eye as one forgiven man looking other forgiven men and women in the eye. And that man stayed long enough. I said one day, brother, if you had a chance to preach to our church, what would you say? He said, I would tell him sin is terrible. I would tell him God is wonderful. And I'd tell him when you get in trouble, don't run from God, run to God. And on a New Year's Eve, I had three laymen preach and he was one of them. Today, that man is leading 400 people to Christ a year and serving God in another state. You know, it would never happened if he ran away when the storm comes. Stay where you are. Everybody say it. Number one is what? Stay where you are. Number two. Now this is strange. Paul says you'll all be saved. Everybody be saved. You'll be all right. And then they said, hey, if anybody here knows how to swim, jump in the water and swim. Huh? God is going to deliver you. Then why do I have to swim? I heard a story, just a story. Man was in an area that was flooding. Water was up almost to the height of his front porch. He was sitting there, and a rowboat came by and said, Mister, get in the boat. We've been coming to rescue people like you. It's going to get worse. No, he said, I'm a Christian. God will take care of me. So the water came up higher. He's now looking out of a second-story window. And a speedboat comes by. A motorboat says, Mister, get in the boat. We're sent to rescue people like you. The flood's going to get worse. No, he said, I'm saved. God's going to take care of me. And the water got worse. He's now on the top of his roof at the very peak. And a helicopter comes by, drops down a ladder and says, grab the ladder. The water's going to get worse. We're here to rescue. No, he said, I'm a child of God. God is going to take care of me. And the helicopter flew off and he drowned. He went to heaven. He said, God, you said you'd take care of me. You said you'd never leave me or forsake you. Why did you let me drown? And God said, I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you want? If you can swim, swim. Here is number two. Number one was what? Sorry, number two is do what you can. Can you swim? Swim. The boat's not going to hold you up. It's falling apart. The fore part is stuck fast. The hinder part is broken off by the waves. If you can swim, jump in the water and swim. Do you know every place I go, not every place, but many places I go, they tell me why they can't reach people. Now, sometimes they can't reach people because they're out in the country, and sometimes they can't reach people because they're in the city, and sometimes they can't reach people because they don't have a big enough building, and sometimes they can't reach people because their building's too big and it looks empty, and sometimes they can't reach people because they don't have enough money, and sometimes they can't reach people because the weather's bad. Oh, hush up. Did you know God expects us to do the work he's called us to do with the resources he has given us? Hey, I got a question. Can you do that? Yeah, you can have it. Anybody here say, no, it's physically impossible for me to do that? Well, you doing it? Dr. John Wilkerson, my good friend, pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, doing a wonderful job. He said, you know what kind of Christians pass out tracts? Those who have them. Do you have them? Have some in your pocket, some in your purse. You better get some. Yeah, you can do that. Can you do that? Can you do this? You may have to take a couple classes on it, you know. Go on YouTube, how to knock on a door. Well, you must do that. Do what you can. Don't worry about what you cannot do. Do what you can do. I pastored for 44 years in a town of a declining population. When I went to Saginaw, there were over 100,000 people. Now there are less than 50,000 people in the city of Saginaw. We had the most violent city in America 8 years running, and many years other than that. The last year I checked was 2013. Detroit would have had to have 50 more murders to have as many murders per person as Saginaw did. Our buses have been shot. Our bus workers have been shot at. Gang fights have broken out on our church property on multiple occasions. One time a kid almost stole a police officer's gun. One of my assistant pastors jumped him and stopped a catastrophe. People have brought guns on the buses. We have had all kinds of trouble, and people are leaving in droves. You know what we said? We said, well, we're just going to hang on till Jesus comes. No, we didn't do that. We reorganized the bus ministry so the rival gangs didn't come in at the same time. And we put rules up, you know, no cell phones, no gang colors, and no Walkmans, we used to say, and all that stuff. We only recruited people 12 and under. You could keep coming when you're over 12, but you had to have your parents' permission. A teenager couldn't come up and get on the bus on a Sunday. It was a lot of extra work, but you know, we did what we could. Quit saying, no, I can't, and start saying, I can. Quit looking at the things you don't have and start looking at the things you do have. Can you swim? Then jump in the water and swim. Number one, stay where you are. Number two is, do what you can. Number two is, if you say it louder the first time, the sermon will be shorter. Number three, someone can't swim. The ship breaks apart, and they're thrown into the water. And the Bible says some on boards. They grabbed a board. I've flown so often, I suspect I could make the flight attendant's announcements for them. And they'll often say something like this. You can be flying overland from Detroit to California, and they'll say, in the unlikely event of a water landing, a board has been provided for you. You think? Coast Guards, you have regulations. You got any lakes around here? If you got a boat, you have to have one board on board for every passenger. No, you don't. You have life jackets. A board? You're going to give me a board? You promised me divine intervention, and I grab a board. Yeah. Here's number three. Use what you have. Use what you have. You have a good location, use that. You have nice music, use that. You have a good voice, use that. You have a personable personality, use that. But if it's just a board, then grab the board and hang on, and you'll make it safe to shore. Don't look around and feel sorry for yourself because you don't have a life jacket. Don't wish that you had something else. Don't say, if only we had a Russell Anderson in our church, we could do amazing things for God. No, no, no. Fool you on that. Find out what you've got and use it for the glory of God. Number one, stay where you are. Number two, do what you can. Number three, use what you have. Number four, it says, and some on broken pieces of the ship. They didn't even get aboard. They got a broken piece. They grabbed it and splinters dug into their fingers. It hurt when they pulled it to their chest to try to stay afloat. Other people had a full board, and they just had a broken piece. Some people don't even get a board. They get a broken piece. I wish everybody had a husband and wife in the family, a mother and a father. Some people just have one or the other. They just get a broken piece. I wish everybody had enough money to not worry about keeping the lights on, but some people, it's a struggle every single month. They just get a broken piece. I wish everybody had excellent health and could get out of bed in the morning and under their own power navigate and do all that they were supposed to do for the work of the Lord Jesus. But some people barely crawl out of bed. It takes them a half hour before they can take a normal step, and every step they do take requires extra effort and energy. They just get a broken piece. I wish every child had parents who knew God and loved them and tried to encourage them in the right way. But they don't get that. They just get a broken piece. But you know what it says, some on boards and some unbroken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Here is number four. Number one is stay where you are. Number two is do what you can. Number three is use what you have. Number four is take what you get. Ever say that with me? Take what you get. I just got a broken piece. We'll grab it. You can sit around feeling sorry for yourself and complaining because somebody else gets aboard, but when you do that, the broken piece is going to float by and you're going to drown. You better grab the broken piece. You better take what you get. You better understand that God is an infinite sovereign and He can do as He will with each of us. Years ago, I'm told a man went to a school for what they then called the deaf and dumb. Now, we know that deafness does not inhibit a person's ability to speak, but they can't hear the sounds that they're making, so they can't articulate words usually as well. And this man went to the school, and he went to the chalkboard where the students were gathered, and he wrote on the chalkboard, "Why did God make me able to speak and hear and make you deaf and dumb?" What an awful, thoughtless, callous question. The students sat there stunned. One little girl got out of her seat. She walked up to the blackboard and she wrote these words, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." Yeah. Take what you get. Do you have good health? Use it. If you don't, take what you get and do what you can with what you have. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Take what you get. I'd like to sail without storm or gale on a smooth and placid sea. With a gentle breeze that my sails would seize and achieve my destiny, and then no sudden squall on my ship would fall or make dark the midday sky. Nor the thunder crash or the lightning flash till I reach my port on high. Never troubled seas or contrary breeze, just smooth sailing day by day. Not a storm to face or my smile erase as I journey on my way. Never blown off course by the tempest force, not a bit of strain or strife. Only light and peace, never joy decrease as I sail the sea of life. But the lightnings flash and the waves that crash interrupt my travels fair. And my path I've lost as my ship is tossed and my life is filled with care. For the raging sea brings no peace to me and the land seems far away. My poor ship will break and no headway make. And it's dark for many a day. Now all hope I've lost as by waves I'm tossed in the violent troubled sea. It's all done, I think, as I start to sink. Then a broken piece by me. Though I cannot swim and I'm tired of limb and a board is not my lot, I will seize the peace nor my grip release, for you see it's all I've got. Yet not really all, for on Him I call and upon His word rely, that I'll make it o'er to that peaceful shore and my mansion by and by. So remember, friend, when things break and bend and your journey's really tough, though the storm won't cease, you've a broken peace. And with Jesus, that's enough. Lord, help us to stay where we are, to do what we can, to use what we have, and to take what we get. Guide me as I extend the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes closed, nobody looking around.